But sometimes we need to understand where we are located ourselves and make sure that we're growing, right? And we don't want to stagnate and fossilize spiritually. It's nice to see all the fossils in the museum, but not in the church. It's not cool when it's in church. You want to see growing things, living things. All right, let's go to one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God's three kinds of people. We start reading at verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or this world, nor of the rulers of this age or this world, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Let's all say, for our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age or this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Have you picked up the two kinds of wisdom here? Talks about man's wisdom and God's wisdom. What are the two kinds of wisdom? And they don't look alike. They're very different. Very different. So if we want to be smart, we'll get some of God's wisdom. The Bible says we need wisdom. He'll give it to us. All we need to do is ask. And he'll give it to us without regret. He'll just give it to us. I guess the big challenge is to get to the place where you realize, well, I need wisdom. Because that's kind of an acknowledgement that I'm not too smart. And when it comes to spiritual things, I think that's maybe a good place to start. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who has known the mind of the Lord, that you may instruct him, that you can look into the mind of God and say, well, we have a few things to correct there. He says, no. But we have the mind of Christ. We read on. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men or natural men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Well, there are three kinds of people here. And I'm not going to look at them in the sequence that Paul did, because we want to end in a good place, right? So we'll start at the bottom, and then we'll work our way up. And when we go to the bottom, we go to verse 14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Their foolishness to him. You talk to any person that's not born again about spiritual things, they think you're foolish. What are you talking about? You're out to lunch. Where do you get that from? Spiritual things just don't make sense to them because they are spiritually not alive. They're spiritually dead. It means nothing to them. I don't know, but if you had the experience, I certainly had years ago, many years ago, I shared some things, some spiritual things with people that are not born again, and they thought, well, you know, this guy, we need to look out for him. You better dodge these. He's strange. he's not dealing with a full deck here. There's something wrong there. Because spiritual things just don't, they have no insight in spiritual things because they're spiritually dead. The spirit world does not exist to them. They don't understand what you're talking about. And all they believe in is what they can see. And they'll be quick to tell you, well, I'll believe it when I see it. The only thing is, if you see it, you don't have to believe it because you see it. that's just the thing about natural people. They're natural people. They are just fully given to the natural world. And they are, all their energy and everything they have goes into the natural world and what they can get out of the natural world. The only thing that matters is material things. Nothing else really matters to them. And they try to make the most of this world because that's all there is for them. I had a colleague years ago in the bank, and he was a single guy. He was in his 30s already and single. And he told me how many insurance policies he had. And that at a fairly young age, that they would pay out millions. Millions. So I asked him, so who's going to get the millions when you die? Well, I'm not against insurance policies, of course, but you have to understand that you need to think, you know, about some spiritual things too. It's not how rich you die that matters. It's where you go after you died. And that can happen tomorrow. You have no guarantee that you will leave the service this morning. So, we're spiritual people, right? And we need to think about spiritual things. Otherwise, we're natural people. We're just natural people. It's interesting as we work through the book of Genesis. I don't want to spend too long on that. That God made Adam and Eve in his image. And he's a spiritual God. He doesn't have a material body like we have. So he made them first spiritual beings. But after Adam fell, God said to him, you dust. You dust. And to dust you will return. Why did he? I mean, he was made in God's image. Well, not anymore. He lost that image. He lost that image. And all that remained was dust. And how foolish is it to spend your whole life on dust? While eternity is much longer than life in the body. And the smart thing to do is not to be a natural man, but to be a spiritual man. So natural men don't receive spiritual things because the Bible says it's foolishness to them. It's just foolishness. Now I know you know what I'm talking about because you probably spoke to people and they thought that you were fools. Actually, we're all fools. If you just go back there, back up a few verses to chapter 1 and verse 26, Let's read, not read all of the whole chapter, but verse 26, for see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. So if God chose you, I'm not saying anything. If you feel chosen, but God has purpose for that. He says God chose the foolish things of this world to put to shame the mighty and the wise. And so there's the natural man. he's dust. He returns to dust. And he'll be quick to tell you there's nothing after the grave. And sure enough for him, there is nothing after the grave. You receive what you believe. Actually, there is something after the grave for them. But that's not nice to talk about that. You don't want to go there, and you don't want to try that out. You want to make absolutely sure that you're not going there. And without a doubt, because that's not a place to go, God did not make us to go there. But some will. Some people will. God did not make hell for people. He made hell for the devil and his fallen angels. But some people will go there because they choose to go. If you don't choose to run with God, by default, you're running with the devil. You're a natural man. So there's the first kind of people, and thank God we can leave that category. We don't have to stay there. We're not trapped there. But there's a way out of it. Through Jesus Christ, there's a way out of it, and that door is wide open, and anyone can come in. There's an invitation to come, leave that spiritually deadness behind and move on to be with God and enjoy life with true security and peace and hope. There's a lot of people that are alive in the body today, but they're dead. And there's a lot of dead people that are alive because they're with God. So the natural man cannot discern spiritual things. He cannot discern because he's got nothing to discern it by. The only thing he can see and believe is what he can see with his natural eyes. But then chapter 3 verse 1 talks about another category and says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now he calls them brethren, which means they're born again. They're born again people. But he says, you're carnal. You're still carnal. You're babies in Christ. Now, when we're born again first, we're spiritual infants. Every one of us. You don't come into the spiritual life a mature believer. You come in as a baby. Because there's a lot of things you need to learn. Now, the babies are cute, but not when they're 50 years old. Not cute anymore. You have reason to worry. You know, there's this mother that walked into the supermarket with a toddler, and there was somebody there with a bit of a short stature, and he kept on looking at this guy, and eventually said, Mom, why is that kid so old? Now, I think there's a lot of old kids in the kingdom. They've been around a long time, but they haven't stepped into much maturity. Now, I think, I haven't seen many mature people, we'll get to that later on, in Christianity. We're all growing. So don't feel offended. We're all growing. Nobody's arrived. I've never seen somebody that has arrived yet. But we're growing. We're not where we're supposed to be, I guess. But no, we're not where we used to be. We've made some progress. Thank God for that. And we still need to make some more progress. We want to get out of babyhood. And step into some spiritual things. Now, he says, I could not talk to you as spiritual people, which means even though they're born again, they didn't have much of a sense of spiritual things. So I could not talk. I could not bring some spiritual things to you because you're carnal. You're babies in Christ. You can't handle that. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. I think as Christians we need to develop an appetite for solid food. Amen. Solid spiritual food. And there's only one place to find it, and that's in the Word of God. And you know what? The more we dig, the more we find. Boy, we find some amazing things. But I tell you, the Bible is an exciting book. But you got to dig. You got to labor at it. You work hard. You know, there's beautiful things on the surface of it. But there's even more beautiful underneath the surface, between the lines and behind the letters. A hidden, Paul keeps on talking about the hidden truths. There are some hidden truths, mysteries, that he said God has revealed to us. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But spiritual babies, he says, verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men or natural men? Now, what happened there in that church was some people went around and said, I got saved in the ministry of Paul. Someone else said, I got saved in the ministry of Apollos, as if that made you more saved. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Who you got? It brought divisions among them, and they were jealous and they were proud and all of that. The strife came in. It says, you know, when you do this, you're carnal. You're babies. You're born again. You'll go to heaven, but you'll go as a baby. There's no growth. And let's talk a little bit about spiritual babies. Now, I don't do this with any single person in mind. So I'm not preaching to individuals, okay? And I'm preaching to the internet. But there are some things that babies do and toddlers do that grown-ups don't do. And as I said, when we're born again, we come in as babies. I believe every church should have babies. We should have baby Christians. Every church should have them. And every church should have spiritual children. And every church must have spiritually mature people. We need them all. We need all of them. It's nice to see the spiritual babies come in. There's an excitement that the older folks often have lost. And there's a curiosity. They want to know more. They want to so on. And these are good things. There are good things. Not all things about babies are bad. There are some good things among spiritual babies. But spiritual babies don't contribute much to the kingdom. They have not developed that sense of responsibility for the kingdom and the church because they need so much help. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with help. You know, don't say, I'm never going to call the pastor again because he says spiritual babies need help. We all need help. Amen. All right? And thank God in a church there is help. Amen. You don't have to struggle because there will always be somebody that will help you. They will come alongside you and fight with you. and lend a helping hand and be there for you. Nobody has to struggle in loneliness and be alone. Nobody has to. That's the good thing about the church. But as we grow up spiritually, we become responsible for things. We begin to assume a responsibility for something in the church body, something in the kingdom of God. I feel I'm going to do this or that because I feel this is my responsibility. I have a calling, and God gave me some equipment. God gave me some skills. God gave me some talents, and I'm going to use those to further the kingdom of God, to expand the kingdom of God. Responsibility. Now, kids don't have that. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. It's a little rough to get into understanding and assuming a responsibility for things. But we have responsibility in the kingdom of God. Amen. Every one of us. There are some things that you just do because you believe this is what I came for. I have something to contribute. And I'm going to contribute. I'm responsible for my gift. I'm a steward of my gift. And so here in the church of Corinth, they had strife and divisions because divisions follow strife. Once strife comes, then division comes. And because people get offended. And I have learned quite early in my walk, thank God for that, my dad taught me right in the beginning of my spiritual walk, don't get offended. Don't ever get offended. If you get offended, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. And boy, that's something we need to make up our minds about. It. I am not going to be offended. If you want to grow as a Christian, you need to grow a thick skin. You need to grow a very thick skin, and sometimes it may hurt, but you cannot respond to that or react to that. You need to look past that and move, because you got more things to do than worry about an offense that somebody may not even have meant. Amen. And so it brought divisions in that church because people offended one another because they're spiritual babies. They offend one another. Something else about kids is they'll eat anything. One of our boys, as a toddler, we found the wings of a June bug on his tongue. The bug was gone. He thought it was nice. Wasn't him. They put anything in their mouth. Anything. Which is a sign of immaturity, right? You can't discern. I mean, everything looks good. Now, there's a lot of bugs, spiritual bugs in Christianity. You can't eat everything that you hear. You got to make some discernment. And just go for the truth. Develop an appetite for truth. Become a connoisseur of the truth. Develop a love for truth. Not everything is good. There's a lot of Christian books that are not good. Not everything in the Christian bookstore is good. You better know that. Not everything on Christian TV is good. Not everything is bad, but not everything is good. But if you mature, you learn to discern. Now, you know, nothing happened because our son ate the bug. He didn't get sick or anything. But you don't eat bugs, man. It's not something that you eat. There's, you know, who knows what can be in there. And it's the same thing with spiritual food. You better be careful. Paul says, I could not feed you with solid food. I had to feed you with milk all the time. It's milk. And sometimes, you know, Christians need to get out the bottle. Not everybody who is an eloquent preacher is necessarily a preacher of the truth. Eloquence has nothing to do with what's being said. And it's wonderful to listen to somebody that can speak eloquently. You know, there's an art to it. But what's more important is not to fall for the beauty of it, but listen to the truth that's being said. Because that's why what we grow by is listening to the truth. It's the truth that sets you free in the end. They had this problem in the time of Paul too. You know, there were some people, he even says here in this, in quite earlier, chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. I did not come with excellence of speech. He was not Apostle Paul was not an eloquent speaker. He was a little hard to listen to. He even says, I'm not trained in that. I wasn't trained in that. He was not. We figured out that he was not an eloquent speaker. But boy, if you look at what he left for us, what came out of the heart of that man, that for generations and centuries, we've been feeding on the truth that came through this man that wasn't even an eloquent speaker. So we need to look at these things and say, well, you know what, I'm going to grow. And everything that you hear, whether it's here in this church or wherever, you got to compare to Scripture. You have to go back to Scripture and see if it is so. Read the context. Make sure it's things are not taken out of context. Make sure that you get the right message. You cannot just listen and go away. You need to go back and check it. Now, I check things before I come here and preach, but after I preached, you need to go and check. And when I listen to somebody else, that's what I do. Oh, I check. While I'm listening, I'll page back and forth and listen and check things. Because I want to learn and I want to make sure I don't put things into my mouth spiritually that may not be good to me. Of course, I don't think I need to mention disobedience. Children, this naturally. You don't have to teach them to be disobedient. It comes with a package. It's built in there. You don't have to teach anybody to be disobedient. Now, we sometimes take some of that disobedience as spiritual children and we don't let go of it. Disobeying God. Just disobey the word of God. Now, don't look at me like that. I said I know we're all growing. But we have to begin. If we're not into it yet, we have to begin to walk in obedience to God. And to his word. We have to. And, you know, no excuse is good enough. I know it's hard to obey. Nobody likes to be told what to do. Nobody likes that. But obedience brings life. Amen. Obedience brings security. Obedience brings safety. Obedience releases the blessing of God on a person's life. When we walk in obedience, God did not tell us what to do and what not to do because he wants to take away the joy of life. No, he gave us those truths to live by so that he can bless us and increase us and increase our joy. I want to move on. Laziness. Laziness. I don't know how many hardworking children there are. I'll be honest with you, I was lazy as a kid. Very lazy. I had a stepbrother, he was almost my age, a few months younger. He was a hardworking kid. He loved to work. Not me. I had to train myself in that. I enjoy it today. But as a kid, I hated work. Hated chores. Hated chores. Don't talk about chores because there's going to be a fight. If we talk about chores, there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a reason why we should, why I don't have to do that. There's going to be a reason. We'll find it. But there will be a reason. And there's a lot of chores in Christianity. You know, not everything that we do in our walk with God is nice and cool. There's a lot of things in Christianity that are just hard work. Just hard work. It's sometimes hard work to pick up the Bible and study for a little while. Or to pray. Hard work. Chores. These are chores in the kingdom. They shouldn't really be chores. The scripture should be our delight. But it becomes our delight as we grow up. But when we're children, it is just a chore. It's just a chore. And the same thing with prayer. It's just a chore. I don't like to do that. I don't like to do that. Every pastor on the planet will tell you the most difficult meeting to grow in attendance is the prayer meeting. It's a chore. It's a chore. Yet, we know that if we don't pray together, we don't stay together. And it's a chore and something that we got to do. As children, as we grow up, we need to get into that habit and learn to pray and pray effectively and pray to get an answer so that we become effective in the kingdom of God. It's part of our responsibility. Tantrums. Sometimes it's a tantrum. When you don't get your way, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. You know, I'm going to find myself another place to go because, you know, I had enough of this. Tantrum. Just responding in an immature way to things that we don't like. It's part of childhood. It's part of childhood. Now, in the old days, I should say actually the good old days, we could spank our children. And was that a good thing? Was that a good thing? Our oldest son got a spanking in a bookshop one day. And some old gentleman had the courage to tell my wife that that's not the right thing to do. She told him where he could go. And we're proud of him today. And this one, because we spanked them. We didn't think a tantrum was cool. We didn't think tantrum was cool. You go to the supermarket today, and it can be one of these big box stores, and you can be in this corner, and they can be in that corner. You'll know they're there. Because they can't get what they want. Oh, everybody's going to know that. Everybody's going to know that. Well, that doesn't, it's not fitting for God's people. Listen, as we grow up, let me tell you, as we grow up, no is going to be a very familiar answer. No. I want this. No. I want that. No. I pray for this. No. I pray for that. No. Why? Because I'm the daddy. I know best. I've been around the block. I've seen things. I know your future better than you know your past. That's why. There are some things that we think and we desire and we crave, but God just says no. Am I still safe here? Curiosity. Curiosity. We had a guy where we lived in Belgium. He was John's friend. And he lived just a few doors down. And when I tell you, in 10 minutes, he could ask 20 times, but why? 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 Everything is why. You know, why? You feel like asking, well, why didn't you shut up? Somebody wrote graffiti on the college wall, question everything. And somebody else wrote below, why? But curiosity can be a good thing, but can also be a bad thing. You get into things that you're not supposed to get into. You get people that you can never satisfy. Never. They run around, they run around all over the place because curiosity drives them. There's something inside of them. They cannot settle down and be responsible somewhere and contribute. They're curious. They all over the place, I'm going to see this, and I'm going to see that, and I'm going to see that, and I'm going to see that. But there's no fruit anywhere. Look, if you want to bear fruit, you better grow some roots. Amen. And grow them deep. Amen. That's the only way you can bear fruit. There's no perfect church. We all know that. It doesn't have to be. And even if you find the perfect church, if you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. But you can grow. You can put your roots down and grow and bear some good fruit that you can present to the Father one day and say, this is what my life produced. But if you don't put roots down, you'll never bear fruit. You don't grow fruit trees in pots that you can move here today and there tomorrow. No, where you plant them, that's where they stay. That's where they stay, and that's where they bear fruit. Curiosity. And so selfishness, just thinking of self, you know, selfishness. Some people, I find that culture is getting more selfish by the day, that most people don't even notice that everything they do and say comes out of selfishness. It's thinking of themselves first. Jesus said, put first the kingdom. It's hard for some people to even think about, well, I got to put the kingdom first. Well, you know, there's some things to do for the kingdom. Well, I'm just going to put my feet up today. I am tired. Tired is just a nice word for laziness. Let me get out of that. Now, back to verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. There's a wisdom that is above the wisdom of this world. It's God's wisdom. It says, we speak wisdom to those who are mature. There's natural understanding and there's spiritual understanding. And we need to get into some spiritual understanding. We want to walk with God. He's not a natural man. He doesn't think like we do. His ways are much higher than our ways, and he does things in a very different way. You want to walk with God, you better get into some of that. You cannot walk like a carnal man and think you're going to make it with God. You want to grow up in things of God, there are some things that we need to learn. That we need to get directly from God. That you can't get out of a book. That you need to get from God. It says here in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you the deep things of God? Amen. If there's a hunger on the inside of you, and you open up and you yield your spirit to the Spirit of God, you will discover the deep things of God. Amen. Discovering the deep things of God is more precious than discovering what's the next cool thing in the culture. It's on a totally different level. There are joys and pleasures to to experience in God. I believe so many of God's children have not experienced the joy that comes in truly walking with God. It's unknown to them. It's a theory out there somewhere, but it's not a personal experience. And as we grow up, what happens is we grow closer to God. But in Ephesians, Paul says that we grow up in Him who is the head. We grow up in Him. We say, which means we grow closer and closer and closer to God. As a matter of fact, Apostle Paul says that our dream and God's dream is, and ours should be, that Christ be formed in us. Amen. Well, that's the goal. Amen. That's the goal, that Christ be formed in you. He says, I am not going to stop praying. I labor in pain again until Christ is formed in you. That's the goal. Remember, if what Jesus did on the cross cannot take us back to where Adam was before he fell, Jesus died in vain. The cross did not completely wipe out what the devil did to us. And we cannot say that. Who's going to say the blood of Jesus was not enough? You cannot say that. That's the dream. God wants us to be recreated in His image. That was the dream and the purpose with man. Amen. That we'll be made in the image of God. We're growing up spiritually, but we grow up in Him. There comes a time when you lay off. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, but now that I've become a man, I've laid it off. I don't do those things anymore because I don't find my pleasure in them anymore. I used to. And maybe it's good when you're there, but there comes a time when it's not good anymore. You've grown up now. You assume a responsibility. You've developed something, some skills. You've developed a maturity. And it's a totally different ballgame to be a mature child of God. He goes on to say, verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I say, this is where the church missed it. We have not put enough effort in to find out the things that God has freely given unto us. We've not gone there. We haven't been there. But you know, well, we look at ourselves and we live in this body. And it's a body of clay. It's a body of dust. It is passing away, it is nothing to hold on to. It's a tent that you live in. It's a tent that you live in. I guess the reason why we marry when we're young is when we're old, we're probably not. We look at each other. We say, "Well, I don't think so." I don't think so. And we marry and we look good and we think it's going to stay like that forever. But it doesn't. And if you're young, you don't believe that. There are things in the internet today where you can put your picture in and it will cast your future profile. You can look at that. Get a glimpse of what some of us already discovered. Paul writes there in chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This body is an earthen vessel. But there's glory on the inside. The glory is on the inside. With that maturity, I've seen some people that make some good progress in their Christian maturity. Let me tell you, it's the most beautiful thing to see. They cannot be offended. There's grace there. There's wisdom. I like to listen to older people that have been a Christian for a long, long time, because the wisdom that pours out of them, it can save you years of trouble. You could listen to them. And there's a maturity, there's a ripeness in their understanding of the scriptures and of God. It's a beautiful thing. We all should dream of dying as mature Christians. That's your glory, you know. That's your glory. Is to die in a way that glorifies God. But let's quickly finish this. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I think one of the mistakes that baby Christians make is they try to compare natural things to spiritual things. But it says you compare spiritual things to spiritual, because you're a spiritual being. There's a strength that comes with that if we grow up in Him. There's a faith that is unwavering, that no circumstance can rob you of. Because you've learned to look past the troubles of the day. You've learned that what goes wrong today will not be there tomorrow, because circumstances are always temporary. Amen. You've learned that you are destined for glory, and you overcome in Christ, and you're more than a conqueror. Therefore, you're not easily defeated. Amen. Because you know what you know. And the devil may bring what he wants against you. He cannot defeat you, because you know what you know. Amen. And you've been around things too long and too often to be easily shaken. Amen. And you stand firm, doesn't matter what happens, because you know. And you don't fear death. Apostle Paul says, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. My departure is at hand. At one place he wrote, I don't know what I will choose. I prefer to be with the Lord. But to be with you people is more profitable for you, he said. Because I got to teach you a few things. But that's the heart of a mature person. He knows what's best. He knows, and he chooses what is best. And what is right in the eyes of God. To be a mature, to come to that maturity where the image of God is fully recreated in us. Boy, naturally, people say, how is that possible? How can that be? Well, the Bible tells us here in Ephesians, and I'll close with that. This is such a deep and a wide subject. We can talk about this for hours. Please get the book, Growing Up Spiritually. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Watch. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. That's the dream. That's the goal. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, there's the responsibility, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We hand out an Eagle Food Bulletin every Sunday morning. Why do we call it Eagle Food? Because we're not raising turkeys. We're raising eagles that can soar above the troubles of this world. Because we know who we are. We're not going to scratch a little bit here, scratch a little bit there, find something to eat. No, we go way up there. Amen. And we look at things from above. What a different view that is. What a different view that is. Let's grow into maturity. Let's lay off childish things. I know we're all still growing, but I believe everybody has something to lay off and something to grow into. Something new that you never liked before, you never did before. Well, get into it. How about that? Get out of your comfort zone. Step into something bigger than you are. Will you do that? All right, let's all stand. Father, we bless you this morning. Lord, when we look at your dream for us, and we look at ourselves, often it seems impossible. But we thank you for encouragement that comes from the Word of God that says, you will complete the work that you started in us. You will finish it. And so in our hearts, there is that dream, there is that yearning to grow up and to be mature and to be responsible and to sit down with you, the King of Kings, and talk kingdom business with you. And not just our own business, but kingdom business. That we live for your dream. That we draw from your wisdom and your power. And say to ourselves, all things are possible. It can be done. I pray for us, Lord. I pray that revelation will flow into every heart today. That give us great understanding and help us to locate ourselves where we are in our growth and motivate us to take the next step and grow further into maturity. Lord, I thank you for the good things that we enjoy. Thank you for the Word of God that comes to us, that leads us in the way that you want us to walk. And in the end, we look at ourselves and we say, we are the workmanship of God. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. And it's become our joy and our pleasure to do it for you. And may your name be exalted in and through every one of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.